Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everyone who is listening in on our CD and internet ministries. I'd like to welcome the shut-ins. And if we have any visitors today, if you could fill out the cards that are in the pew in front of you, let us know your name and address so that we can get back with you. And if you'd like to get more information on our church, please see one of the ushers in the back, and they will be more than happy to hand you a brochure about our church. Now, on for announcements, there are several announcements in the bulletin that you can peruse over. There are two that I need to make mention of. The spaghetti dinner that initially it was a chili cook-off dinner. It has been changed to a spaghetti dinner. Thank you, because my stomach will much more appreciate you for that. The tickets will actually start going on sale next Sunday, and you will see Cindy James for those tickets. And also next Sunday after church, there will be a short council meeting in the Narthrex. So it'll only take a few minutes. We just have a quick vote that we have to do. So anyone who is on the council, if you could meet at the back of the church next Sunday for a quick meeting. So that's all the announcements I have. And we'll listen to the intro. And if you'll all stand now for the call to gathering. O thou fount of life, from whom flows springs of vitality and health.
As we celebrate our worship, may our sorrows be lifted, our joys engaged, our hopes energized, that our living may reflect the beauties of freshness, wholeness, and love divine. Amen.
And you'll find the gathering hymn on page 24 in your hymnal.
Yeah.
Now, if you'll pray with me. We humbly ask for your presence today as we worship you. Help us in our daily lives as we face the challenges in life that separate us from your Holy Spirit. Give us strength to keep your words and spirit close to our hearts. Keep us ever faithful in your Son's teachings as we pray the prayer he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you'll turn to your neighbors for the passing of peace. And you can remain seated as we sing He Came Down. The song is in your insert in your bulletin as the children come forward for their sermon.
Well, good morning. How are you guys? It's nice to see you. How are you, Brendan? I heard you had some trouble building Lego stuff last week. Is it Shemaiah? Today's Shemaiah's birthday. Today is someone else's birthday. Kelsey? Sarah Farrell. Sarah, just stand up a little bit so Shemaiah can see you. There, see her? It's her birthday today, too. So should we sing happy birthday to Sarah and to you? I think that would be good. Can we sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. How old are you?
Seven.
Guess what? Sarah is 10 years older than you.
I'm seven.
You're seven too? Good. 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 I'm glad to hear that. And happy birthday to both of you. Happy birthday to you.
My birthday is August 9th.
Oh, we've got a long way before that, thank heavens.
Summer.
Yep. Mine's next month. No, 2 months. Sorry.
Yours is next February.
No. Well, listen, do any of you know where I was for the last several weeks? Did you notice that I was gone?
No.
Did you notice?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I was a big loss, I can see. So, Evelyn, where was I? Do you know?
I don't know where you went.
No, I wasn't in California, the state of California in the United States, but it's close. Does anybody know where I was?
Florida.
Nope.
California!
No, I was in Mexico. Have any of you ever heard of that place? Mexico? You have a friend in your class that's from Mexico. Well, that's neat. Well, Mexico is south of here. And Evelyn, you are right. The place where in Mexico, in the country of Mexico, they have states like we have states. And one of the states in the country of Mexico is called Baja California Sur. Can you say that? Baja California Sur. That's right. And it is a long, skinny peninsula right off the bottom of our state of California. So that's why it might be a little confusing. And it has the same part of the same name. And it's way down on the bottom of the tip of the peninsula. And then if you have to go up around the tip, and in the off of the Sea of Cortez is this place called La Paz. And it's really pretty and it's lovely. And I was there and I stayed with some folks. I'm going to tell the people here later where I was and what I did. But one of the things I discovered there was a very wonderful cookie.
I want cookies.
And I brought some back.
Yay!
They're called...
Annoying.
No. Can anybody want to take a guess? Evelyn, I think you're... Are you the oldest? How old are
yes,
you, Evelyn?
Yes, she's eight.
Eight, all right. Nine. You're nine? Are you, you're not nine. Can you read those letters?
King Nunchucks.
Can you read those letters? No? Well, that's a C, and that's an A, N, E, L?
L.
And what's that one?
L-I-T-A-S.
And this is Spanish, and it's canalitas. Now, it's just the name of the kind of cookie. It's just the canalitas. And they are very nice, crispy little cookies. And I brought some so that... Where's Miss Becky? I'm going to give them... Well, there's six cookies in each pack, so you'll have to share. Yeah. A little bit. But I want you to at least have one. And they're very delicious. And I brought them back because they were delicious and I needed to bring some with me. And I didn't think I would find them in the United States. And I went to the, I brought some other things home the other with me too, some spices from Mexico that I really liked. And I wasn't sure if I'd be able to find them here in the United States.
Like spicy, well, spicy sauce.
No, not too spicy, but it's very good. Yeah. And one of the spice, actually, when I went to the store yesterday, I actually found the very same spice in the Meijer where I went. But I looked for the canalitas, and they didn't have them. So I was really glad I bought a big box to bring home with me. And I'm really glad I get to share them with you. And if you have questions about where I was or what happened to me, I want you to feel free to ask me about them. But one of the things I want you to know is the reason I like these cookies was because I had a chance to share them with some wonderful people that I stayed with. And they're missionaries down there in Mexico. Their names are Joyce and David. And the sweet cookies remind me of how sweet they are because they're very sweet people and they were very kind to me and let me stay in their house. And so if you, when you go to see Miss Becky and you eat your cookies, if you would say a little prayer to Jesus, thanking God for Joyce and David and helping them to be the best missionaries that they can be down there in La Paz. Okay? Let's pray. Gracious God, I thank you for these sweet cookies, which remind me of Joyce and David and the people of La Paz and the people down there that need to know you and already know you and love you so much and for all they shared with me. Lord, bless these cookies and bless these children as they receive them. And may they know the sweetness of this cookie and the sweetness of your love. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Evelyn, would you please give those to Miss Becky? Thank you, guys. It is indeed a blessing for me to be home and to be back among my brothers and sisters in Christ here in Saginaw, and to be safely home, and to have enjoyed such a wonderful time away, but also now to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labors together as we proceed to seek ways to serve the Lord. So I am extremely grateful today and have so much more than any coin I could ever put in an offering plate that would bring glory and honor to God. But at this particular moment, I am so grateful that we can, all of us together, share our goodness in a financial way that will help to support not only this church, but the work of the ministry of this church and the work of missionaries like Joyce and David around the world. Will the ushers come forward now to receive our tithes and offerings? Let us pray together. Gracious and almighty God, it is indeed with praise, it is indeed with grateful hearts, it is indeed, almighty God, with love, that we come before you now offering these gifts, coins and paper, but more than that, almighty God, our thanksgiving, our gratitude, our joys, for what you have given to us. And as you receive these gifts, Almighty God, receive those that give. And Lord, bless each gift and giver, that they may be used for the furthering of your gospel, for the spreading of the message of Jesus Christ, for the extending of love and mercy here and around the world. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
People said, "It is good to be in the house of the Lord." As we enter into a season of prayer, I want to bring before you some requests that have been shared with us, as well as reminding you of those that can be found in your bulletin. I want to give a little report on your. There's a person in your bulletin, a young person, a couple actually. One I want to give a great report on, and we could probably all let Linda know that we can remove his name. Little boy I mentioned several months ago that his parents discovered by accident, actually. The sutures in his skull that as a child don't close until quite a bit older had fused together too soon, causing swelling in his brain, at which point they had to go in and reopen that suture and then allow it to grow back. His name is Parker, and he is the son of a young woman that Ray and I knew when she was about 8 or 9 years old many, many moons ago in Iowa. And I want to give a good report and a praise to the Lord. Parker is doing very, very well. He's back to normal, quite a normal little boy. I've seen pictures on him. She shares pictures of him quite a bit on Facebook, and they're just doing very well. So I want to thank God and thank you for your prayers on behalf of Parker, and report a good word on that. One of the other names on the list that I have mentioned before is a young man by the name of Colin Trask. He's a 17-year-old young man from Birmingham, Michigan. Actually, Troy. He lives in Troy, but he attends the First Baptist Church of Birmingham, where I used to serve. Colin has been battling brain cancer for about 4 years or more now. He had a brief respite from the brain cancer, but it has since come back. He is about to enter his fourth round of chemo on this treatment series. He's already been through several, but this week he will be undergoing his fourth round of chemotherapy for this newest episode of brain cancer. And it has not been very easy for him. He has been suffering quite a bit of side effects from this more powerful round of chemotherapy, including, of course, nausea, not much of an appetite, nosebleeds. His blood count goes up and down so that he often has to go back in the hospital and have antibiotics and platelets added to him. So, and that fourth round begins this week. So I would like to invite you to continue to pray for Colin Trask as he continues to battle this sort of insidious and horrible disease. Michael is asking us today to continue to pray for Julie Quinnen, David's wife. Many of you know she had knee replacement surgery. And I don't believe she's come home yet. Is that correct, David? She's not home yet. No. So we want to continue to remember her and her healing. Peggy is reminding us that Ithamar still needs our prayers but has been transferred to Health Source. So we want to remember Ithamar in our prayers as well as those who are ongoing on our prayer lists and those perhaps that did not get mentioned today. I would like to remind you as we go to prayer this morning that the prayers of all of our hearts together are pleasing. Yes. Absolutely. What is her first name? Anika. Anyone else this morning? Praise or a concern? Yes. Oh, what was the last name, Connie? And he's the one with the cancer? Any others? Yeah, Sally. What is his name?
Andrew Thomas.
Wonderful. Congratulations, Grandma.
Thank you.
Yes, Carrie. Wonderful. We've been praying for him for a number of weeks, and Cletus Rankin, who is on your prayer list in the bulletin, who is Jeannie's dad, Carrie's grandpa, is doing rather well, very well, as a matter of fact, putting on some weight and getting used to his new house again, and we're really happy about that. Grandma needs to back off, a little less on the honey-do list. Okay. Yes, Roy. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Roy is giving thanks for our prayers and also to God for answers to prayers for his son's sake, and we're happy to hear that too. Anyone else? Yes, Jody. Oh. Well, you're welcome. I did have second thoughts about returning, but...
It wasn't me.
It... Yeah. Anyway, my friends in La Paz texted me yesterday and said it was 80 degrees there, and then she said, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, yeah, maybe not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious and almighty God, we are gathered in this place this morning, brothers and sisters. We share the same parent. We share the same creator. We share the same Savior, the same Spirit, the same hope of resurrection, the same joy of walking in your presence. As brothers and sisters, Almighty God, we come before you first and foremost with hearts full of gratitude and joy and adoration. How amazing, O God, that you would create all of this and give it to us. That you would offer your Son. That you would do this for us. Almighty God, receive from us what we can give. our thanksgiving, our adoration, our praise, our thoughts of glory for you, so that all that we say and all that we do and all that we think might bring honor and glory to your name. As brothers and sisters, Almighty God, we give you thanks. Through the work of your Son, Christ, and the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, we can lift up good news this morning. We can give thanks for Parker. We can give thanks for Cletus. We can give thanks that Julie is healing, that Ithamar is in a place where he can heal. We can give thanks for babies born healthy and born to loving parents and grandparents. We give you thanks for Andrew Thomas. We give you thanks for warm places to be and safe travel. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for everything good that comes from your hand. As brothers and sisters, Almighty God, we lift up before you those things that weigh heavy on our hearts. And in those moments, Almighty God, our hearts join together in asking for your blessings. We are reminded of those who have lost loved ones, for those who grieve those losses. We are reminded of those, Almighty God, who are in pain, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional. Their pain is great, Almighty God, and you are the sufficient healer for their wounds and their injuries and their pains. We lift up those, Almighty God, on our prayer list, and those who have been mentioned this morning, thinking especially this morning for Chuck, for Colin, for Arnika. Lord, these persons need your healing touch. Surround them. Lord, lift up those who are treating them. Lord, give them your strength, your wisdom. And Lord, may your healing touch be upon them so that they might be renewed, brought to wholeness, experiencing every bit of your peace and shalom. As brothers and sisters, Almighty God, we join as one, same Creator, same Savior, same presence of your Spirit in offering these prayers to you, for we pray them in the name of Christ. Amen. If you'd like to follow along this morning, we have just one scripture verse that we're going to be looking at. It is found in the Gospel of John. If you have a Pew Bible, you can find it in the New Testament section on page 1046. If you have your own Bible, we will be looking at the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, reading verse number 27. John 14, verse 27. 1046 in the New Testament. Verse 27, these are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, Almighty God, and the thoughts of all of us together gathered here be pleasing and acceptable unto you. For you alone are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. May this be so. Amen. I want to begin by telling you that I really am grateful and glad to be back. I wish it was spring, but I'm still glad to be back. I didn't realize how grateful I was to be back until I came yesterday and had an opportunity to meet with those who came for the Charting the Course event, and looked around and saw all the wonderful faces and was refreshed by hugs and kisses and just well wishes. And I know that you were holding me in your prayers and thoughts, and for that I am very grateful. And I am really glad to be back. It is great to be back, to be among you, to be hearing your stories, to be seeing your smiles and hearing your words of good news and sharing in your concerns, and just great to be back. And it doesn't hurt to be back in my home with Ray either, so. I understand that he missed me a little bit, and so I'm glad to be home. Some of you, I have to say, I actually wrote a really nice article for the January newsletter, and somehow or other between my email and Linda's, it got lost, and so you didn't get to read it. But in that newsletter article that I put out last month, I explained a little bit about why I was going to Mexico and to La Paz, and I have gathered in some conversations that some people just were unaware of. Maybe some people didn't even realize I was going, or that I was going for the number of days that I was going, or why. So I wanted to sort of just give you a little bit of a sense of why I went and how that came about, and again express my gratitude for being able to do this. Some of you know, I certainly have shared with some people, but for those of you who may not know, the winter is very hard on me for two reasons. One is that when the air drops to a certain temperature and it gets rather frigid, and I begin to breathe in that type of air, I respond with asthma attacks and having some asthma issues. In addition to that, during the cold, sort of more dreary months of the wintertime, because of the lack of UV light and sunshine and the vitamin D that comes with that, I tend to get some seasonal depression. So when I was candidating and when we were talking back and forth with the search team, and I mentioned that, one of the things that was negotiated as a part of my contract in lieu of some additional pay was for me to be able to take the 3 or 4 weeks off in January to go somewhere warm where I could work on the upcoming year in ministry and also be closer to some sunshine and some warmer weather to be refreshed. And that's what I did. And so I used that time to gather some sunshine rays and to take in some vitamin D, and also to use that time to have some wonderful conversations with my missionary friends and with the Lord, and to do some planning for the future. And again, I want to express my gratitude to you as a congregation for allowing me that time, but also, even though they're not here, I want to give much gratitude and thanksgiving to Joyce and David Anderson Reed for allowing me to spend time with them. Over the next few Sundays, before we enter the season of Lent, I would like to share with you some reflections on my time in La Paz. This time for me was a time to walk with God in ways that I don't imagine that I've done for a very, very long time. And I want to share some of those things with you over the next few weeks, beginning today with walking with God in La Paz. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about the idea of walking. How many of you are walkers? Any walkers? Good for you. Most of you know that walking is one of the most beneficial types of exercise that you can do. You've got your runners, you've got your swimmers, you've got all the other kinds of athletes, but in many ways, health professionals will tell you that walking is one of the most simple, yet one of the most beneficial things you can do. Not only does it strengthen muscles, but it's good for your heart. In many ways, it's a very healthy form of exercise, and it's pretty simple. You don't need any equipment except a pair of nice shoes to walk in, comfy shoes to walk in. And walking is a really good thing, but I know from personal experience, and I'm sure some of you too, that when you have a few extra pounds, as I do and did more, the more pounds you add on, the more difficult it is to exercise, even something as simple as walking. When you have more weight than you should, it puts stress on your bones and on your muscles, and it just doesn't make walking easy. And so, as much as I've always enjoyed walking as a pastime, as something to do, as a way of even devotional time, it was hard for me when I was heavier. And now that I've lost some weight, that has become easier. And so the walking not only is easier, but it's more enjoyable. And I want to do it more. I mean, it's sort of this cyclical thing, you know. I mean, so the more weight you get, the less walking you do, sort of the less happy you are, the less opportunity you get to feel better about yourself, the less weight you have. But then that also means you can't lose the weight. So it's kind of this vicious cycle. But I appreciate now the walking, and it doesn't hurt as much. And I find, and I did when I was in Mexico, that opportunities to walk, whether it was by myself or with the dogs or with some friends while I was down there, were really moments to not only walk by myself or with those people, but to walk with God. I did a fair amount of walking while I was away, and in many ways, that walking was not only physical, but it was emotional and it was spiritual, and I would like to share with you today a little bit about that in a message I'm calling Walking with God in La Paz. La Paz, Mexico, is the state capital for the Mexican state named Baja California Sur, S-U-R, means south. The Baja California Peninsula of Mexico is divided into north and south, each one being its own separate state. La Paz is the state capital for Baja California Sur, just like Lansing is our state capital. La Paz has a population of over 200,000. During the winter months, probably closer to 250,000, including its outlying areas and suburbs. It is located on a bay just off the Sea of Cortez on the eastern side of the Baja California Peninsula. It sits protected in a bay off of the Sea of Cortez, which, if any of you have ever read John Steinbeck, this part of the world became popular in a book because he cruised the Sea of Cortez as a writer and wrote a book called The Pearl, The Black Pearl, actually. The Pearl was his book. Then there was another book written by a woman called The Black Pearl. It was for children. This area described in these books, particularly the one, The Pearl, by John Steinbeck, is particularly about this area where I was located in La Paz. This area is famous for a kind of boaters that call themselves cruisers. Now, of course, being from the state of Michigan, we think of cruisers as people in cars. Cruisers in Baja, or particularly in the La Paz area, are boaters. They come from as far north as Seattle and Portland and the northern parts of our continental United States. They come from California. They get in their ships, their sailboats, their vessels, and cruise down our western coast all the way down the western side of Baja California, up around the tip of Los Cabos, and then up into the Sea of Cortez and port at La Paz, because it is a very safe and protected harbor. This means that the city of La Paz is greatly populated, particularly in the winter and spring months, by Northerners, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, Hawaiians, Californians, all people from places where it is not so warm, and boaters. And so it makes this place a rather sort of international place. And so it is not uncommon to find English-speaking people as well as English-speaking Mexicans in the city of La Paz. It is one of the more highly prized areas to live in as a Mexican because ability to make a better living is greater in the city of La Paz. The earnings ability there is much greater than those found in other parts of the mainland of Mexico. An average wage earner in La Paz can earn around $27 a day, which is much higher than the average wage earner in other parts of Mexico. Even to us, $27 a day sounds pretty slim. At one time, La Paz was one of the greatest locations for the pearl industry, hence the name of John Steinbeck's book. At one time, there was a huge population of oysters off of the area of La Paz in the bay and out into the Sea of Cortez. And divers came from all over. Pearls were a prized possession, and you could find them everywhere in La Paz. And they were made into jewelry, sold around the world. And then many years ago, they don't know why, but a disease struck the oyster population, killing off all of them. And so today, there are no longer any fishing or diving for pearls because they're not there. They never regained their strength after that infection. La Paz is located in a desert area of Mexico. It is warm most of the year when it's not steaming hot, and it does enjoy some rather very hot summers. The waters off the Bay of La Paz are clear and clean. You can see to the bottom. They are blue and green with wonderful sandy beaches and many of them to explore. I was fortunate while I was in La Paz to be able to stay in one of the outlying areas, more one of the suburbs of La Paz. I stayed in the home of some longtime friends of ours from seminary, Joyce and David Anderson Reed. They are both ordained American Baptist ministers, and they are also commissioned missionaries through our denomination. They currently live in a rented home there. They are also, like Ray and I, empty nested. Their sons are currently studying in the United States, one in high school and one in college. And they live in a neighborhood of La Paz called Fide Paz. Joyce and David are missionaries there. Part of their ministry involves teaching at a theological school there and training up Mexican Baptist pastors in their ministry. And currently they're focusing on youth ministry because right now in the Baptist Convention in Mexico, youth ministry as a specific ministry with their own ministers and trained persons is not something that they do. They do have youth, and lots of them, and they're pretty active in their churches, but to train up specific youth ministers and then train them and sort of set them in the churches to be just specifically ministers in that area is kind of a new thing for them, especially in the area of La Paz and Southern Baja. So Joyce and David are beginning to sort of refocus some of their efforts there. The other thing that Joyce and David do, and they have did this on their own, they discovered not long after being, they've been there for 12 years, by the way. They've been home on assignment two or three times throughout that period of time. And what they discovered was they discovered these cruisers, and they discovered these folks down there, some of whom live there year-round, who are English-speaking, and there are no English-speaking congregations in La Paz. And so they started a home group at first, which now has turned into they have their own little church. They rent a space, and they have about 100 people. Of course, their congregation, not unlike some of our churches here in Michigan, during the summer months when it's steamy hot, and the people who live in nicer climates in the United States and elsewhere go back home. So their congregations kind of do the reverse of us when in the summertime our congregation, I guess it's the same sort of thing. In the summertime, our congregation sort of decrease because we're going to nicer climates or nicer places and are enjoying the very limited time we have to get outside They're also decreasing in number because folks are going back to their homes. La Paz in Spanish means peace. La Paz means peace in Spanish. And I have to tell you that I found much, much peace in La Paz. Indeed, I came to experience and know a peace that I had never known before. The kind of peace I believe Jesus was speaking about in the passage that we just read together. Peace is a word we hear pretty frequently, but I don't believe that many of us experience it. In Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom, and it means more than what we think of it. It means wholeness, a sense of well-being. In Greek, the word for peace is irene, and means an absence of fear or worry. So the focus for the Greeks was peace being something you had that would mean you weren't afraid or you had no worries. Peace in the Greek times and the times of Jesus was often used as a greeting, much like we did this morning in the passing of the peace. It was a form of greeting. If you will recall other parts of Scripture where Jesus is heard saying to his disciples and others, "Peace be with you." It was a common greeting, much like we say to one another, "May the peace of Christ be with you." And the response is supposed to be, "And also with you." It is a desire on our part to understand that you have peace and I have peace. Shalom, irene, la paz, peace. Jesus promises his disciples peace, his peace, and he shares his last moments with them and gives them this promise of peace. Now, I want you to notice two things about this text and the kind of peace that Jesus gives. Let me read it again for you. Jesus, by the way, this is the last in John, what they call a discourse. This is the last set of teachings that Jesus is going to share with his disciples before his crucifixion. This is the time in John's description of Jesus' last days when they are in the upper room, he has washed their feet, he is telling them that he is going to die and leave them and then rise again, but then go to be with the Father forever. And in the midst of this, he says these words in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The peace is Jesus's peace. That's the first thing I want you to notice here. He says, "My peace I give you. My peace I give you." We need to understand that what Jesus was telling his disciples then, what he tells us now, is that there is a difference between the kind of peace that people just talk about, peace and love, the kind of peace that flower children talked about in the 60s, the kind of peace that people talk about now between the countries of Egypt and Israel, or the Palestinians and the Israelis. It's a different kind of peace. It's not the kind of peace you sit back and you relax and you think, "Oh, that's so peaceful." Jesus wants us to understand, he wanted his disciples then to understand, that the peace he gives is of a different kind. It is deeper, it is stronger, it is shalom peace. It is well-being. It incorporates every part of our being, body, soul, mind, spirit. The peace that Jesus gives, he says, is His. It is divine. It is sacred. That is, it gives us grace. It is personal. It comes from Him. It is something we share with Him. It is from God. It is not to be found outside of the presence of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. The second thing He says is right after this, He says, please realize that what I give you is unlike any other kind of peace on earth. My peace I give to you, not like the world gives. No matter what kind of peace the world might give to you, a period of no war, maybe a time when you feel at peace, it is not Jesus' peace, and it will never satisfy like Jesus' peace. It will never satisfy like the peace of Christ. Frederick Buechner, who is a very wonderful, powerful writer, theological, he's just a devotional, wonderful writer. He uses words so powerfully. He wrote a big book some time ago called Wishful Thinking. It is subtitled A Seeker's ABC. And in it, he writes the following words. And I quote, peace, Buechner writes, peace has come to mean the time when there aren't any wars or even when there aren't any major wars. Now, beggars can't be choosers. We'd most of us settle for just that. But in Hebrew, peace, shalom, means fullness, means having everything you need to be wholly and happily yourself. One of the titles by which Jesus is known is Prince of Peace. And He used the word Himself in what seem at first glance to be two radically contradictory utterances. On one occasion, He said to His disciples, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And that comes to us from Matthew 10:34. But later on, the last time they ate together, Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." From John chapter 14. Buechner continues then, the contradiction is resolved when you realize that for Jesus, peace seems to have meant not the absence of struggle, but the presence of love. For Jesus, peace is not about the absence of struggle, but the presence of love. Do you understand? We will still struggle. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that within a matter of hours, within a matter of days, and from that moment on, His disciples would experience struggle. They would experience pain. They would experience agony. They would experience depression. They would experience grief because of His loss. And that would continue from that moment on for anyone who believed in Him. Because peace is not the absence of struggles. It is the presence of love. When we are filled with God's love through Jesus Christ and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are filled with love, which casts out all fear and leaves us with peace. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you, not like the world gives. I give you my peace. So we fill ourselves with Christ's love in places where struggle wants to break in. I was brought to understand this in a deeper way over the last several weeks in La Paz. As I walked with people who struggle daily to make ends meet, as I walked with Joyce and David in their ministry, which sometimes is difficult because there are language barriers, there are cultural barriers, there are people barriers. When I walked with myself in those struggles I have to identify myself as pastor, as friend, as wife, as leader, when I walked with God in La Paz, when I walked with God in peace, I discovered what Buechner meant. That peace is not the absence of struggles. It is not the absence of worry. It is the replacing of those things, or the walking beside those things in the peace of Christ, His love, His presence, His grace, His mercy. I was moved more times than you can know by the very presence of Christ in my life as I walked with God in La Paz, in peace. Notice that Jesus concludes this little statement to his disciples with the following words: "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Some translators look at this passage and say that what Jesus is actually saying here is, don't be cowards. Don't be cowards. You have the peace of Christ in you, with you. You walk every day in La Paz, in Shalom, in Irene, in peace. The peace that comes from the hand of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't be cowards. Walk in peace. May that be so. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, we're going to join one last time in singing together, "Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands." It can be found on the insert in your bulletin. Let us stand together and sing.
Thank you.
is a beautiful hymn.
Yeah.
I hope that you will take time to look at those words again and receive this benediction. Put Christ into each other's hands. He is love's deepest measure. In love, make peace, give peace a chance, and share it like a treasure. May that be so both now and forevermore. Amen.
Before the choir sings its blessing, I'd like to thank Jan Eggers for playing piano today. She's doing a wonderful job, don't you think?